play-by-play. I don't know if you guys can feel it, but I can feel it. We're getting closer and closer, right? We're about 48 hours away from an AFC championship game featuring the Kansas City Chiefs for the 7th straight year, which is still nuts. I mean, that's insane to think about. I mean, I was 18 years old the last time I did not witness the Kansas City Chiefs playing in a Super Bowl or playing in an AFC championship game. That's how insane this run has been. I'm almost 27 years old now. That's how long it's been since I hadn't seen the Chiefs in an AFC title game.
What did you just say your age was?
You're 28.
I'm 27. 27. 20, I'm 26, almost 27.
Okay.
So yeah. I turned 27 in February.
7 years ago, I would have been 18? Yeah. Because, I can't do math. I was 17 because I'm 24. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I was 18, almost 19 during that AFC championship game that would have been 2019, 2018, 2019, 2017, whatever it was. It's ridiculous how long it's been since I didn't get a chance to see the Kansas City Chiefs competing in a game to get to the Super Bowl. And in that stretch, we've seen them go to 3 Super Bowls and now one game away from a fourth and potentially an opportunity for the first 3-peat in the history of the National Football League. That's insane. That's insane. If I would have gone to 12-year-old Logan and said, hey, this is what the NFL and the Chiefs are going to look like 15 years from now, no shot. Old me, 12-year-old me, would have thought that 26-year-old Logan is institutionalized. Like, okay, he's certifiably insane. Something happened to knock me off my rocker in that 14-year span. No. This is real life. We're all experiencing the same. This is the same timeline for everybody. Absolutely unreal. After hours here on this Friday, January 24th edition, Logan Weber here with you. My producer for the next 3 hours is JT Noah. And yeah, we're going to be talking a ton of Chiefs Bills, obviously. What else would you come here to listen about? I mean, this is the end all be all. It's conference championship week in the NFL. Chiefs Bills. Maybe some Eagles Commanders sprinkled in there as well. And then there's a lot of other news to get to on top of that, right? Ichiro Suzuki is very, very, patiently, cautiously asking to just, have a drink, have dinner with the one guy who didn't vote for him for Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame, which I find kind of interesting.
Hey, what about, did you see the tweet from Brett Rooker for the Oakland A's? Well, sorry, not Oakland A's anymore, but he goes, because I'm assuming you saw the video of the Shredder putting Bobby Witt Jr. at 4.
Yes, we talked about that yesterday.
Oh, he goes, I want to see the Shredder and whoever didn't vote for Ichiro on the
exactly.
same bar.
I said the exact same. I saw that after the show and I was like, oh, I guess Brent and I had the same thought process. Yeah, somebody on that real upper echelon research team over there at MLB Network that had him go. Yeah, just unbelievable. Unbelievable levels of, yeah. Our text line, 913-586-7965, and 913 says they've gone to 4 Super Bowls. They've won 3. It's exactly right. This would be their 5th trip to a Super Bowl. Potential to win their 4th in 6 years, which is just mind-boggling.
Mahomes has never not seen a championship game, so there you go. So, I mean, he's never not played in a championship game since he started.
Yeah, this is the floor.
Yeah.
This is the floor of a Patrick Mahomes-led season. 7 years into his career. Insane.
The worst he's done is lost at home to the Bengals.
There are second graders walking around right now. That went to school today and they're now at home sitting down with mom and dad or whoever having their nice Friday night dinner that have never seen the Chiefs not make the playoffs or losing the divisional or losing the wild card. They've only ever seen the Chiefs get to this point in the year. That's insane. That's insane. I lucky you, kid.
Yeah, we had to wear brown sacks when I was a kid to games because we were really scared to go to be shown on TV because we were Chiefs fans with Romeo Crennel and Matt Castle out there.
And Todd Haley.
Tyler Thigpen, baby.
Yep, when Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator. I got an interesting Charlie Weiss story. So when I was a kid, I was, 5th or 6th grade, right? He was on Todd Haley's staff in Kansas City. And I remember his son came to my high school. His son went to St. Pius, right? And they came down to my high school, Lawson High School, for I don't know if it was like a district or a state quarterfinal game or something, But they came down for like a postseason high school football game. And we were all freaking out, all of the kids over on our side, because, oh, Charlie Weiss is here, right? Like, that's the former head coach at Notre Dame, who is the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Like, he's here in our tiny little town of 2,500 people. And I can remember a bunch of us little kids, big dime sports fanatics who were giant Chiefs fans. We went over where we walked around the track, right? Around the concrete, you know, the little, yeah, that little railing along the outside of the field. And we went over to their bleachers and we walk up to Charlie Weiss and we're like, Mr. Weiss, Coach Weiss, can we have an autograph? And he looked all of us little kids dead in the eyes and said, hey kids, bleep off, I'm watching my son. Which in hindsight, right, like I respect that. He's trying to watch his kid play football. But we're all like 10, 11, 12 years old, just stunned that Charlie Weiss is in our hometown. And he tells us to bleep off. I'll give you a hint. The word started with an F. Just, you know, I'll just give you that point of reference as to what Charlie Weiss said.
I thought you were
going
to say something like, oh, it rhymes with yuck.
it does rhyme with yuck as well. It starts with an L and rhymes with yuck. Yep, that's what we'll go with. We won't go any further than that because the FCC just had their ears prick up a little bit. They're starting to pay a little bit more attention. But we got a lot to get to here on this episode of After Hours. I got another 913 in the text line. Says, I still remember after the Titans lost in 2018, looking at my friend and saying, I just want the Chiefs to make it to one Super Bowl in my lifetime. Buddy, you got it. You got that and then some. And then some. I was a senior in college when they won that Super Bowl in February of 2020. And I can remember my mom and my grandma, the two biggest Chiefs fans in my life, bawling. I mean, like hugging each other, jumping up and down, bawling their eyes out. My mom had never witnessed the Chiefs win a Super Bowl. She was born right after Lynn Dawson led the Chiefs to that Super Bowl IV win. She'd never seen it. And my grandma was in high school, I think, when they won that Super Bowl. So, like, it had been so long since they had witnessed something like that. And for my mom, never having witnessed anything like that. And now we're just here. Now, this has become somewhat normal. And I think that we should all, for the remainder of time, do not take this for granted. Don't ever do it. I don't care if we go 10 years down the road and Mahomes is still playing quarterback at 39 years old, which in all honesty, I don't believe he will. And I don't think that's a health thing. I think that might just be, you know, it'll be time for him to walk away from the game of football. His kids are going to be at a certain age where they're competing in sports and off running around doing things. And he's told us time and time again that he wants to be there for those moments with his children, which I very much respect. But say he is still playing 10 years from now, and we are getting set for Mahomes and company for their 17th consecutive AFC Championship game appearance, and they're going for their 10th or 11th Super Bowl appearance. Please, for the love of God, do not think like, oh, this is just normal. Don't take this for granted. Absolutely never, ever, ever take this for granted. But we do have a lot to get to with this Chiefs-Bills game. A couple of big notables surrounding these two teams that came out today. First things first, no surprise to anybody, Andy Reid confirming this afternoon that it is going to be Joe Tooney at left tackle once again for the Chiefs. I thought it was the right move last week, right? He still played all that well. And he still played fairly. He gave up the one sack to Will Anderson.
Anderson's a beast.
He's an exceptional young talent in this league. And you kind of take that as what you will. But all in all, I think he played really well. He was great when he was head-to-head with Danielle Hunter for most of the four quarters. That's where he should have been last week. That's absolutely where he needs to be this week, right? We don't deviate away from the plan at this point in the year. If you were going to put Wanye Morris back at left tackle, or you were going to throw DJ Humphreys in at left tackle, last week was the time you were going to do it. Now is not the time. You do not mess with a good thing, and you roll with what you've got. So that was no surprise to anybody. And another, you know, not that it was surprising, but you thought the Bills might try to play it a little bit closer to the vest and that he may try a little bit more, you know, aggressively to get himself ready to go for tomorrow. But no, Sean McDermott confirming today that Taylor Rapp will not play tomorrow or on Sunday for the Buffalo Bills in that AFC Championship game, which is a pretty big loss to that secondary.
It's a huge loss. He had an interception in the first game of the season, which he was kind of almost... I call it a tight end spy because he was following Travis almost everywhere he went. It's a big loss, and now you kind of got that, okay, who's going to step up to take away Travis Kelce? Because Milano's a really good linebacker, but he ain't going to stay with Travis Kelce all night come Sunday night.
Yeah, so taking a look at who his replacement is going to be, it's likely to be Cole Bishop, who is a rookie. He's a second rounder out of Utah, and he does have a little bit of an added advantage in this, in that the Bills did bring back Micah Hyde, right? He's on the team. Technically, he's not playing, but he's on the team, and he is getting a crash course in how to deal with Travis Kelce in this Chiefs offense this week, courtesy of a guy who has a lot of experience in doing it, and a guy who did it at a very high level in the league for a long time in Micah Hyde. So that is kind of an added bonus for him. But again, he's a guy who has not played a ton this year, right? He's a rookie. He's 22 years old. This season, he's got 25 solo tackles and one forced fumble. He's played in 16 games, 40 total tackles. He's got two passes defended. So, I mean, it's not like he's walking in with a ton of experience this year, heading into the biggest game of his young career, and likely to, alongside maybe Matt Milano, end up in a situation where he may have to go man-to-man with Travis Kelce at certain points in this football game, which is that's a tough task for anybody, right? Just ask guys like Justin Simmons and Derwin James, some of the best safeties in the NFL in the last decade, and how they struggled to contend with Travis Kelce. Now you got a 22-year-old rookie guarding him, and guarding him not in a Week 11 game in Buffalo. Nope, this is the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead on a Sunday night, trip to a Super Bowl on the line, and you have to go head-to-head at certain points in this football game. He will have to go head-to-head with the greatest tight end this league has ever seen.
And the biggest problem for him as a rookie is he's going to see things he hasn't seen, because Travis Kelce is the biggest threat when Mahomes gets outside the pocket and starts running, because you don't know where Kelsey's going to go. Those two have that connection where you can't even stop it if you're a veteran, and he's going to find out real fast. Jordan Poyer's going to be like, hey, this is how you could do it, but you're never going to know where he's going to go.
It's that backyard football mentality that those guys have developed over the course of 7 years. And man, I got to say, I'm so jacked up for this football game. I'm absolutely thrilled by what this football game is going to bring out. You know, my younger brother is a Buffalo Bills fan.
What the heck?
I've told this story already here, but I'll tell it again. When I was in high school, I played high school football, I ran track, and I played basketball against a kid. His name's Kellen Overstreet. If you look at the Misha record books for running, Kellen Overstreet is all over it. Rushing attempts, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. He was unbelievable. Played at Penny High School down in Hamilton, Missouri. Small little school, but they were in my high school's conference. Nicest dude on the planet. Super smart. He was an all-stater in track. He was all-state in football, obviously. He ended up, you know, he had some FCS offers and some small D1 offers, and like Northwestern looked at him really hard, but he wound up going to Wyoming, where he played running back. Was a starting running back, and was at one time in his career roommates with one Mr. Josh Allen. And the thing about Kellen was, you know, they say you've only got so much tread on the tires when it comes to a ball carrier, right? I mean, he had like 1,000 carries in his 4 years of high school football. I mean, he carried the ball like almost 400 times as a senior. It was student body left, student body right for Hamilton my senior year, and they got to a state championship. He was unbelievable. But that led to a lot of injuries when he got to Wyoming, and he ended up, I can't remember if it was like a torn labrum or maybe he had blown his knee out again for like the second or third time or something. He decided to medically retire, just hang it up. And then he transferred to Northwest Missouri State, where I was a student at the time. So Kellen and I started hanging out a little bit. We were good friends, and we were hanging out at somebody's house one day, and my brother was over there. My brother was a freshman in college, and he thought that it was cool that Kellen was there, right? Because my brother remembered watching Kellen when he was in junior high and in middle school. And we're talking about Kellen and what he did at Wyoming and all these things. And he's talking about being the starting running back for Wyoming, Josh Allen's final year with the Cowboys. And my brother calls his bluff. My brother's like, there's no way you know who Josh Allen is. You do not know who Josh Allen is. You did not play with Josh Allen. So my buddy Kellen gets on his phone and FaceTimes Josh Allen. Josh Allen answers the FaceTime, decked out head to toe in Buffalo Bills gear, sitting in the facility there in Orchard Park. And my brother, at 18 years old, 19 years old, loses his collective mind because he is talking to a starting quarterback in the NFL, which, and I know this is weird to say, didn't feel that out of the ordinary for my family or my brother and I, because I have a cousin who played in the National Football League, won two Super Bowls with the Giants, played there from like 07 to 2012, and then played a year for the Raiders, unfortunately. Very unfortunate. I had to wear Raiders gear to Arrowhead because my cousin was playing for the Raiders. Now, to save everybody some heartache, all I did was wear a plain black long sleeve shirt. There was no Raiders gear on that shirt at all. It was just black. And I wore a Kansas City Chiefs bright red Travis Kelce t-shirt jersey underneath my all black long sleeve that I was wearing, as to not get any of that Raiders ick on my skin. Right. I took the proper precautions, but I had to support my family in some respect. But like, we were around those guys all the time. Right. I mean, I have pictures next to Brandon Jacobs and Kevin Boss and Eli Manning and, you know, Kevin O'Hare and guys like, you know, Sean O'Hara, I should say, guys like that. It was never out of the ordinary for us. But for my brother, it was like, oh my God, that's Josh Allen. Like, and at that point in his career, he was kind of, you know, I don't know. It was just one of those things. But he freaked out. And ever since then, he's been a Bills fan. And so we're not going to be watching the game together. That is not happening. I will not allow it to happen. I'll probably be stuck here at the station because I'm doing post game after the game Sunday night. So thankfully, we won't have to deal with it. But yeah, it's been an interesting week between, you know, my mom and I, who are big Chiefs fans, my dad and sister, who could really not, they could care less, couldn't care less, and then my brother, who's a giant Bills fan. That's a contentious household.
That 13 seconds game, I bet, was real hard on him.
I'm sure it was.
Were you not around him during that game?
No. I don't. I was down living in Springfield, I think, by that point in my life, so just one of those things. But I'm super excited about this game. You know, the fourth iteration of Mahomes and Josh Allen in the postseason. This is where Mahomes has made his hay against Josh Allen. Because, you know, in the regular season, it's a little bit more 50-50. And I would say it might even lean a little bit more towards Josh Allen. But that's how it works, right? I mean, for Mahomes and company, it's about being good enough in the regular season to get yourself into this position. And then throw out the footballs and let's play. Let's let loose. And it's worked out in their favor considerably here in the postseason. It's going to be interesting to see if they do it a fourth time in a row. We got a lot more Chiefs Bills news to talk about here in preparation for Sunday's games. We've got Eagles Commanders as well on Sunday, which is going to be very, very interesting. Mizzou and KU have two really big college basketball games coming up tomorrow that we'll talk about here on the program. And as always, we'll go to the phone lines, 913-586-7965. Logan Weber joined by JT Noah. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. You know that cliche, what a difference a year makes? What a difference 3 years makes. Right. I mean, in the lead up to the game this week, Chiefs Bills, everybody's talking about the 13 seconds game, that divisional round game in 2022. What about the last time these two teams met in an AFC championship game? Right. That was back in 2021 or to the 2021 season, the 2021 AFC championship game, which was played January 24, 2021. So literally 4 years ago today was when that AFC title game was played. So what a difference 4 years makes. You still got Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes leading these two teams. You got tight ends in Dawson Knox and Travis Kelce who are still around. But outside of that, things are wildly different, right? For the Bills, RB1 was Devin Singletary. For the Chiefs, it was a combination of Darrell Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Leading receiver for the Chiefs that day, Tyreek Hill. Leading receiver for the Bills, Cole Beasley. Second leading receiver for the Bills was Stephon Diggs. Byron Pringle was the third leading receiver for the Chiefs that day. And then you look at the leading tacklers for these two teams, Jordan Poyer for the Bills, Anthony Hitchens for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, listen to the defense at Kansas City. Hitchens, Bashaud Breeland, Treverius Ward, Tyrann Mathieu, Daniel Sorensen, Legarius Sneed, Frank Clark, Alex Okafor, Ben Neiman, Chris Lamons. I mean, that's Chris Jones, Tershawn Wharton, Mike Dana, and Derek Nnadi. Those are the only four guys on that list who had a tackle in that game that are still on this Chiefs team now. It is a completely different team from what we saw 4 years ago. And the same thing can be said for Buffalo. Outside of like Matt Milano, Levi Wallace, and Ed Oliver, everybody else on that Buffalo defense, AJ Epenesa, but outside of that, the Buffalo defense is completely different, and their offense is completely different outside of Josh Allen and Dawson Knox.
Now, I will say, Shakir gives me Cole Beasley vibes because Shakir's so shifty in the slot. But going back to the defense for the Chiefs, remember Fenton, man. Fenton had that interception. I was actually, it's crazy enough, I don't know why, but I was bored today on my couch being a bum, and I turned on the AFC Championship highlights.
I don't blame you. I've been watching the franchise. I went back a couple of days ago and rewatched the Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl from a couple of seasons ago, just getting myself just jacked up for this game and that opening coin toss and Chris Jones, and may God bless you, as Brandon Graham is just chatting, just yapping at midfield during the coin toss, trying to talk trash, and Chris Jones is just like, may God bless you. You know, you better strap it up because we're going to go here in a minute.
It's funny you talk about the Eagles because I told my brother this week. I go, Eagles are heavy favorites this week to beat the Commanders. If the Chiefs win, they play the Eagles. Wouldn't it be something that Mahomes' four Super Bowls are against the same two teams in all four? He beat the 49ers twice and he's beat the Eagles twice. That'd be just something to talk about.
And to do it in the order in which he's done it, right? He won the first Super Bowl against San Francisco. He won the second one against Philly. Turns around, wins the third one against San Francisco, and then the fourth one against Philly.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, just sort of off and on like that. It would be kind of interesting. But Logan Weber joined by JT Noah here on After Hours on this Friday evening. 2 days away. I mean, literally almost 48 hours exactly away from kickoff in this AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Bills. You know, JT, we were talking prior to the show about what we saw as some of the biggest keys for this football game. And you and I kind of had differentiating opinions on the matter. For me, when I look at what are the biggest keys for this football game, I'll start with the one that's the biggest cop-out because this is what everybody says when it comes to who's going to win or lose a football game. Take care of the football. Whoever takes care of the football better in this game is likely going to win the football game. Turnover margin is as good of an indicator as to a winning football team as you're ever going to see. Take a look at what happened last week in the divisional round. Lions, Rams, and then you've got the Ravens and you've got the Texans. Those four teams turn the ball over nearly double-digit times, right? The Lions turn it over 5 times. You had the Ravens turn it over 3 times. You had the Rams turn it over twice. So that's 10 turnovers just between those three.
And that's not even counting the fourth downs they didn't get.
Right, exactly. And then in the Texans game, yeah, they didn't technically have a turnover in terms of an interception or a fumble lost, but they had the turnover on downs on that fourth down and 10 due to bad decision-making and poor clock management by D'Amico Ryans. You had a field goal get missed on a 55-yarder because D'Amico Ryans decided to trot his kicker out there knowing that the kicker had reservations pregame about kicking to that side of the field, and then he had a blocked kick go off in that game as well.
Don't miss the PAT.
And the missed PAT, I don't necessarily constitute the missed PAT as a turnover necessarily.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's
but
true.
Those other three are a true turnover on downs. A fourth down failed conversion, that's a turnover on downs. Constitutes a turnover, whether it's counted towards the overall stat or not. And then you miss two kicks, right? A block and an actual miss. Those are basically drive killers. You had opportunities for points, you didn't convert. Turnover. That's the nature of the beast. So with those in, that's 13 plus between those four teams. You look over on the other side, Eagles, Commanders, Bills, Chiefs, 0 turnovers between those four. If Kansas City can play another clean football game and somehow extend this NFL record streak of consecutive games without a turnover to 9, and they can force Josh Allen into some mistakes, right? They can force Josh Allen into, hey, you have to be Superman today. Maybe take James Cook's, you know, take some of the wind out of his sails, make it more difficult on him. I think Josh Allen may end up playing himself into a mistake or two because he's trying to do too much because he has to do too much if Buffalo wants to win, especially if you can't get James Cook going. I think that's going to be the biggest factor in this game is who plays a cleaner game of football.
My biggest key takeaway factor is the linebackers for the Chiefs. We know how bad the linebackers are in coverage when it comes to tight ends. And wouldn't you hold, guess what? The Bills have two really good tight ends. And everyone's probably going to go look back at the first game and be like, oh, well, you did pretty well in the first game. But the problem was, is one of those tight ends wasn't playing. And that's a huge problem now because both of them are playing. I want to know what Spags is going to do when it comes to, are we going to let them run the ball or are we going to cover the tight ends? Because you can't take away both. Because if you take away one, the other is going to be open.
Right.
I think he's going to let the tight ends roam and he's going to stop James Cook. That's where I think it's going to happen because he's going to trust his defense to give up a couple big plays to the tight ends and then clamp down when it gets closer to the red zone.
And you'd love to believe that the front four, that defensive line for the Chiefs, as talented as they are, you'd love to believe that they were capable of slowing down James Cook. Unfortunately, the Bills have one of the better offensive lines in football, and it starts and ends with their left tackle, Deion Dawkins, who's one of the best in the league. They're a strong unit in their front five, and so you're going to need those linebackers to fill gaps. You're going to need safeties to come down into the box, or maybe a Shamari Connor or a Trent McDuffie out of a slot position to come down and make a play in the run game. So, yeah, that opens things up a little bit more in the passing game.
It also doesn't help when they bring in the extra linemen. They are one of the most heaviest teams that use their extra linemen, and it's not for, oh, let's pass it. It's for, hey, we're going to run this ball at you and we're going to double team someone that you can't get away from.
Right. And for me, I would say if I was to bring a second point up, right, because turnovers is the sort of the cliche boilerplate answer. The second thing for me would be the defensive line, and not in the way that, you know, like you're talking about slowing down James Cook. Yes. I'm not even talking about the defensive line and their ability to bring Josh Allen to the ground. The defensive line is going to be a huge key in this football game and their ability to contain Josh Allen within the pocket. Don't let Josh Allen get out and extend plays on with his feet. Do not let him get outside and make something happen, whether that's extending a play with his feet and finding a man downfield or whether that's tucking it away and running it on a fourth down at the end of the game and punching one in from some 30 yards out. Right? Josh Allen is at his best when the play breaks down and he's got to look downfield for something or he's going to tuck it away and use his legs. And I think that is another factor in which the linebackers may have to allow the tight ends to run a little bit more free in this football game because you may need to have Leo Chanel or a Nick Bolton spying Josh Allen at certain points in the football game. I think if the defensive line, you don't have to generate 8 sacks like you did last week against Houston. You don't even have to generate 4 sacks like you did against Houston. If you can sack Josh Allen 3 times and you can force, you know, double digit pressures and you can make sure that he stays within the confines of the pocket and he's not allowed to tuck it away and run or step up in the pocket and make something happen, especially on those 3rd and long or 4th and short sort of situations where they love to use his legs to extend drives. That is going to be a massive, massive factor in this football game because very similar in some respects to Patrick Mahomes. No, he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. Nowhere near saying that. But Josh Allen, similar to Mahomes, is at his best when he is outside the pocket and you can use his legs and his arm to make things happen for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. It's more of staying lane integrity in a sense. The other X factor I have, you went with the turnovers, your first one. I'm going to go with something that really was a big X factor last week, special teams. We talked about this before the show, and you were saying how bad their kick coverage is as in the Bills. Well, guess what? Remigio has looked really good out there returning kicks. And I trust Bucker over Bass. We could go back to last year and see what happened with Bass last year. And
wide right.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be huge. And what concept happens there? Does Bass make his kicks? Bucker kind of looked like his old self last week. I mean, but still, he's kind of been shaky this year, especially coming back from the injury. It's going to be interesting to see how the special teams plays out and also how each coach handles the special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Will they go for it on certain plays early on? McDermott's been proven to be a little more aggressive than Andy Reid. Obviously, Andy Reid's more on the conservative side, but I just think it's going to come down to special teams on a big factor because the Chiefs have found some space, especially last week on kick returns where the Bills aren't really good at kick coverage.
I mean, that's the forgotten aspect of the game of football, right? You talk about the three phases of the game of football: offense, defense, special teams. Special teams is a very distant third on that hierarchy. But last week, you saw, especially in that first half, special teams was the biggest reason why Kansas City led at halftime. The offense really couldn't generate much of anything. The defense was giving up big chunks of yardage to the Houston Texans. Now, they were bowing up at the right times and forcing field goals rather than giving up touchdowns, but the special teams played a huge role in that. Matt Araiza's ability to flip the field in the punt game, Nico Remigio with that massive kickoff return that he had to start the game, Harrison Butker buries two big-time field goals there. That was a gigantic part of why the Chiefs were ahead at halftime. So I agree with you. I think special teams could be a huge factor in this game coming up on Sunday. 913-586-7965 is our number. I got an 816 here. Says Allen is a better runner and scrambler than Mahomes. I agree. I'm saying in terms of his ability, not scrambling, extending, right? Allen, yes, if he tucks it away and runs with it, night and day difference, right? Much better runner of the football than Patrick Mahomes is. What makes Mahomes so special is when he gets outside the pocket, he's not looking to run first. And I think that's the biggest area of difference between Allen and Mahomes is Mahomes is getting outside the pocket and using his legs to let somebody get open down the field to make something happen. Allen, when he gets outside the pocket, he's looking down the field, but his ideal scenario would be tuck it away and do something with his legs. You got to prevent that as much as you can in this football game. And the easiest way to do that is contain him within the pocket. You've seen teams in the NFL do a little bit better job of that against Patrick Mahomes this year. The Texans were pretty good at it last week, right? I mean, I don't know what more the Texans defensive line could have done on that third and goal touchdown strike to Travis Kelce. You kept him inside the pocket. You forced him to step up. He didn't have a lot of room to just tuck it away and run. You're able to knock his feet out from under him and force him to go basically parallel to the turf. And he still just throws an absolute dart into Travis Kelce. That's one of those moments where you just wave the proverbial white flag and say, yeah, he's that guy. He is that guy, and there's nothing that we can do about it. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here with you. Producer is JT Noah. We're going to go back to the text line, answer a couple of questions. When we come back, you're listening to your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Logan Weber joined by JT Noah with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Taking a look at our text line here real briefly, 913-586-7965. I got a 913 here, says we need to not let Josh run for a touchdown on 4th and 2 in the red zone. Yeah, I would tend to agree. I would, yeah, absolutely need to agree with that statement. That's when he's at his best, right? Is when he's making those plays with his feet, when he kind of puts on the Superman cape. That's also when he has a tendency to make his biggest mistakes. But, you know, this season, those mistakes haven't been that big an eyesore. He's done a much better job of taking care of the football. And so that makes him even more dangerous in those moments of the football game. 660 says, how do we change our offensive scheme from what it's been for the past 2 years to put up 30 plus points so we can keep up with Josh Allen? I don't know if you have to score 30 plus to beat Buffalo. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, and if you go back and you watch the All-22 from that first round, you know, that first matchup of the year in week 11, that was not your normal Steve Spagnuolo defensive game. I mean, they had Drew Tranquil playing deep thirds in a cover three at certain points. There was not a lot of blitzing occurring within that game, different, you know, stunts and base alignments and things like it just wasn't your stereotypical Steve Spagnuolo called game, right? It felt like he was maybe trying something different to see how it would work, and it didn't. But if this Chiefs team and this Chiefs defense is capable of what I believe it's capable of, I think 24 points could be good to beat Buffalo. I don't know. So, I mean, to change your offensive scheme, first things first, Kareem Hunt needs to be your featured back, especially on, you know, second and short, third and short, even fourth and short situations where you feel comfortable going for it. It's got to be in 27's hands. If you want to run the ball on 1st and 10 with Isaiah Pacheco or a 2nd and 7 with Pacheco and you want to get the ball outside, that's fine. But I think if you want to run the ball between the tackles, Kareem Hunt is your best weapon. I mean, a guy who has a low center of gravity, he runs behind his pads, and he seemingly, he's one of those dudes that, like, he falls forward. You never see Kareem Hunt end up on his back. There's not a lot of grass stain or turf stain on the back of that jersey when he leaves the stadium. It's always on the front. And I can appreciate that from a guy like that. He runs hard. He runs in a much different manner than Isaiah Pacheco. I think Pacheco is more of your zone running scheme, outside zone, stretch, sort of a back. I think that's when he's at his best. Between the tackles is when Kareem Hunt is at his best. So I think you really got to start with getting Kareem Hunt going, get the run game established. And then from there, things open up. You know, the first two times these teams played, Chiefs didn't have Hollywood Brown. Xavier Worthy was, that was really the first game of the year, right? That game against Buffalo where you sort of like, okay, Xavier Worthy's starting to come into his own here a little bit. DeAndre Hopkins had only been in Kansas City for a couple of weeks. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster had only been in Kansas City for about a month. Noah Gray really hadn't turned the corner and gotten to the level of productivity we've seen from him and developed that level of trust that he's now got with Mahomes. I think the offensive weapons are in a much better spot than we saw week 11 with these two teams. And that's a big difference. So I like the way that that shapes up for Kansas City. It's just going to have to be, you know, give the ball to Kareem Hunt. And I got an 816 here saying sort of the same thing. He says H to the Izzo to give it to Hunt. Yeah. Yeah. Kareem Hunt, I think, should be your featured back in this game. If you want to run the ball 25 times in this football game, Kareem Hunt should probably get 15 to 17 carries. That's just my opinion on it. And then if you want those first and long, second and long situations where you feel like giving it to Pacheco, okay, you know, get him outside the tackles, get him one-on-one in space with a linebacker or a DB and see what happens. I got another 816 here, says, I have this really good feeling that the Chiefs are going to be firing on all cylinders and may even make this game look easy. Man, I hope you're right. I can't say I have that level of confidence. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's confidence. I don't know if that borders on delusion. Either way, I hope you're right. I hope you're absolutely right. I hope this ends up like the 2021 AFC Championship game where the Chiefs are up 35-15 at the under five of the fourth quarter. And then, you know, Buffalo is able to kick a field goal and score a touchdown and make it look like a two-score game when it was an absolute blowout. I would love that. I would love to be able to sit and watch the fourth quarter of a Chiefs game and just enjoy the fact that they're going to a third straight Super Bowl rather than bite my fingernails down to the nub and have my heart rate reach 160 beats per minute. That's likely what's going to happen in this game because that's what's happened to the Kansas City Chiefs for the past 2 years is they just love to keep everybody on the edge of their seat at all times.
Yeah, and I'm ready for a slow start. Because slow starts are a thing of beauty for the Chiefs. Last year, they didn't actually have that big of a slow start against the Ravens. But when you go back and watch the AFC Championship against the Bills, they had a slow start. They gave up a field goal, and then Mecole Hardman fumbled a punt inside the 10, and they went up. The Bills did 9-0 because their kicker actually missed the extra point. So there's that.
Mm.
But, yeah, so they got off to a fast start and then the Chiefs did the Chiefs thing. But don't expect a fast start from that Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a tough one. So we'll see. I will say I am very much excited for this football game. I'm more excited than I was last week. Like, I had a nervous energy, like, in the pit of my stomach against Houston last week for some reason. Because I was very impressed with the way that they played against the Chargers. And then as effective as they ran the football in that first half and then into the third quarter with that big long drive they had and the Joe Mixon score. And I'm like, good, lay it 100 yards rushing in the first half. I'm like, that's not normal against Kansas City. But I'm not saying that I'm 100% confident that the Chiefs are going to win this football game because Josh Allen is an exceptional talent at the quarterback position. He's unreal. I mean, he is second only to number 15 in the white and red. Lining up on the opposite sideline from him on Sunday. And that is a high, high compliment in this day and age, right? If Mahomes is this era's Tom Brady, if that's the way we want to go about it, if that's the comparison we want to make, then he is this generation's Peyton Manning. Unfortunately for him, he doesn't have the postseason success and rings and accolades to back up that Peyton Manning moniker just yet, unlike Patrick Mahomes, who can kind of back up the Brady comparison just a little bit. We'll take a break here, come back one final time here in hour number one. It's going to be a bit of a short segment, but don't you fret. We got two more hours coming up here on After Hours. via your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Man, I got to say, I'm loving all of the media, the national media, who are going against Kansas City in this football game. With no recourse to stand on, picking against Kansas City in this football game.
Besides, it's Josh Allen's time.
Yeah, he's due. What does that even mean? He's due. He's 0-3 against Mahomes all time in the playoffs. He's never been to a Super Bowl. He's got a less talented roster, and yet we're somehow picking him ahead of a team who has won 3 Super Bowls, been to 4 in 6 years, and has a 2-time MVP and 3-time Super Bowl MVP leading them. NFL Nation today, right, which is like a research team through ESPN, made their predictions on the Chiefs-Bills games. One picked Bills 34-31, another picked the Bills 30-29, and the third picked the Bills to win 29-20 over Kansas. All 3 of them, clean sweep, picking the Bills to beat the Chiefs. The FPI prediction, whatever that means, is giving Buffalo a 54.6% chance to win this football game. That's an average of about 1.6 in favor of the Bills, which makes sense in terms of the betting line that we're seeing for this game, right? Which has Kansas City as a 1.5-point favorite at home. So typically you're getting about 3 points if you're the home favorite in a game. So that 1.6 kind of factors into by that minus 1.5 that Kansas City is seen as, or that Buffalo is seen as the favorite. They also threw an officiating nugget into their article, right? Cleet Blakeman has been the referee for 12 Chiefs games since Mahomes was drafted. They are 6-6 in those games and 110-30 in all other games. Blakeman's regular season crew led the NFL with 18.1 flags per game. That's a lot, but it's worth noting that Blakeman himself threw only 3 flags for roughing the passer, tied for the second fewest in the league. So we had to throw out his record against the Chiefs in the games that he's officiated, and we had to throw out the number of roughing the passer penalties that he's thrown. Okay. Sure. Just continue that long, regurgitated, atrocious level of media reporting. Yeah, let's continue to talk about the... Come on, man. Can we get off this officiating thing? It's ridiculous. The officials didn't sack C.J. Stroud 8 times. The officials didn't allow Nico Remigio to have a 70-yard kickoff return. The referees didn't allow D'Amico Ryans to have a failed fourth down conversion by throwing a play out with 12 seconds left on the play clock. The referees didn't block that Kaimi Fairbairn field goal. They didn't push the 55-yarder wide right. They didn't push the extra point wide right. Stop it. The Texans lost because they didn't play well enough to win. Cut, print, check the gate. We're moving on.
I mean, one of the penalties was an obvious one. The dude took his helmet off as he's running off the field. Didn't even know there was a fumble, apparently, on the kickoff.
Yeah, and then just gave his coach the two-hand shiver.
Because he was so
on the
excited.
Sideline.
It was such a miscommunication.
And like, I can't tell. Was he excited?
Yeah,
was he upset?
Said. That's what the coach said. He said, yeah, he was excited and pushed me and didn't realize he was getting flagged and there was a fumble. I'm like,
why would he be excited? He just gave up a 70-yard return. That feels like a weird moment to be excited during, I got a tackle. Yeah, after the guy went 70 yards. Like, they have the football almost in your red zone. I mean, good Lord, how is that something to be excited about on the first play of the game? They're already in scoring position, but I digress. 913-586-7965 is our number. We've got plenty of messages in the text line that we'll take a look at here in hour number 2. After hours, Logan Weber joined by my producer for tonight's show, JT Noah, on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.